Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the streets. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many times does this go
on? You've got to get mad.
I know what to do.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chair, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell.
No, I'll tell you what, that's an old piece, but it certainly does ring true, doesn't it? I'll tell you, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell that the IDF is killing Palestinian children with rubber bullets, and they're getting ready to board an Irish and Canadian ship on their way back to Gaza. They'll probably be committing murder there, too. I'm as mad as hell that coal sludge has swept into Lake Michigan and filled it with poison. I'm as mad as hell that Barack Obama has signed away the life left in our seas by giving the ability to drill again to BP in the deep water of our Mexican Gulf. I'm as mad as hell. Pipeline, though proven a corrupt deal with big oil and two governments, will go through as business as usual, decimating our land further. Only for profits, not for American or Canadian energy. I'm as mad as hell that condescending, profiteering old gas bags are just about all that seem to fit into congressional or Senate seats, and they're not going to pay attention to the need to find legal reversal for Citizens United. I'm as mad as hell that so many stupid, fear-hypnotized people are supporting men like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and women like Ann Coulter and Michelle Malkin. I'm as mad as hell that Rachel Maddow is wiping Obama's ass on her show so eagerly and that imperialist Obama is over in the G20 at this very moment arguing to keep Wall Street interests from being held accountable for Greek-insured bonds that they were supposed to be. I'm as mad as hell that Julian Assange is being extradited from the UK. Mad that profiteering bank-dominated Western leaders are trying to force Greeks to take their medicine, the money they think will bring them back to slaving for corporate earth. I'm mad that cops used pepper spray on Portland occupiers who protested the CEO of Chase. And on protesters in Tulsa, while restraining them, spraying them directly in the fucking face, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell that veterans who stood in front of Wall Street yesterday and declared solidarity with Occupy weren't good enough for the national news or for the MSM to tell the nation about it. I'm mad as hell that Amy Goodman and Keith Olbermann are not the most popular sources of news in the United States. I'm mad as hell that BP is out to drill more poison when my state, my sister states and communities are suffering the poisonous death and environmental Armageddon of Deepwater Horizon still yet. I'm mad as hell that I was duped by a liar who won the presidency in 08. I'm mad as hell no one is running against him and that the oppression or opposition buffoonery consumes the American media by actors dispensing infotainment and a sidebar of Republican, I think it's being called a whorehouse in the better circles, that's fall news. I'm mad as hell that Wall Street executives are writing our new banking laws, and I'm mad that there is no Occupy Palestine by Palestinians. I'm mad that my family, my friends, they go to sleep at night worried about an illusion we support called money, greed. Today I read something that Diane G. said. She said, but greed is impatient, greed is vain. Vanity demands some sort of action when it dares to be challenged. And patience is not an application the elites have ever shown. Quick profits at any expense. Quarterly reports, sustainable be damned. Environmental rape, yeah. This is Here Be Monsters. It's part of a drumline of radio activism supporting the occupation movement on a worldwide scale. We began with supporting Occupy Wall Street. Yesterday was the first general strike by Occupy Oakland. And I have a wonderful writer and someone who was there who's been waiting through all this time. I hope he's still there. Hell, I hope I'm still on the air.
Hey,
so
Gwen.
I'm opening the mic up. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Gwen, how you doing?
I'm mad as hell.
Well, I got to concur with you on everything, but, you know, I actually am feeling kind of good about stuff right now, so I wanted to say something good. And
right.
That's about, you know, the media has been trashing the Occupy movement and kind of in general, and I've seen it firsthand in Oakland in particular. And I've seen a lot of old line liberals who actually mean well. They look at this thing and they say, well, you know, look at these young kids. Where's their manifesto? Where's the leadership? Where's the lists of demands? You know, they're not conforming to what we view as what's necessary to build a movement and to build an effective structure to this movement. But, you know, what I feel really good about is a group of kids, a group of young people, you know, to me kids is people in their 30s and 20s, they came out of nowhere. They didn't have any leaders. And in Oakland in particular, in 3 weeks, they shut the city down almost. I mean, they shut down the port of Oakland. They shut down banks, and there's no leaders there. There's everybody's a leader. You know, I'm a leader if I drop off some food. You know, you're a leader if you show up and you've got a good answer to some questions and you vote in the General Assembly. And these kids did that, and they haven't been co-opted by anybody either. You know, they've looked for buy-in from the unions. The local unions, because there's some real solid unions here, but these kids did it on their own, and that's got to scare the people on top, because, you know, kind of like they did in Cairo, the social media generated all of this.
Yes.
You know, these kids
yes.
got out there and did so much, and nobody knew it was happening. You know, I mean, if this was something whereby you had a leadership who are very visible, they're holding press conferences, that's easy to subvert, I would imagine.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they'll see,
yes.
Well, here's the leader here, we'll arrest him. Or
yeah.
we'll smear him in the media or smear her in the media. But with these guys, they come and arrest 80, and there's 80 more to take their place. It's like a gorilla. You know, it really is. And
yeah.
I've seen these kids do it, and It's phenomenal. So, and I don't mean that as happy talk to say, yeah, I know BP is bad. Yeah, I know. What?
You know, I think you're the end of my young.
There's a real hope there.
Yes, there is. I agree.
You know, I'm agree with your anger 100% on every single point. I'm just saying that right now I'm happy, you know, and even what I saw.
I am really happy to hear you happy because, generally speaking, you have.
I'm ranting about.
You have anger that is well placed, and you make no bones about it. So we did some role reversal, and we provided a balance, I think, and that's.
That's true. You know, there was something really awful, but my youngest and I had joined a march for prisoner justice, and as we were bringing up the rear, and a guy came through in a silver Mercedes and hit one of the marchers. You know, the guy was honking his horn, kind of snaking his way through the stragglers in the march. The kid was standing in front of him, blocking him, sort of doing like a Tiananmen Square. I'm over dramatizing, but he was blocking the guy, and the guy, there's some yelling back and forth, the kid pounding on his hood, and the guy accelerated and hit him, dragged the kid maybe 10 feet.
Oh my God.
The crowd, we ran to the kid's aid because my daughter and I were watching, and he'd been right in back of us. And, you know, we ran to his aid, and the crowd was able to keep the guy from leaving. And there was no violence.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, people would have loved to have whipped his ass, but the thing was, had that happened, as justified as it was, that would have been something the media would have concentrated on. You know, they did that. I mentioned the reason we were there because just to illustrate that it's real easy for the media to grab any kind of incident and make that look bad. And, you know, like somebody breaking a window or something like that. You know, in this case, had this guy got a justifiable beating for what he did to this kid, people would have... you know, that could have been used as fuel against the thugs of
but it wasn't.
Movement.
It happened. They held them for the police, right?
Yeah, and then the police let them go, which...
What?
You know, yeah, a guy in... because we were there, we were watching him, and the guy drove off after the police cleared the way for him, and he drove off. And, you know, the police got all the information and such, but they let him go. The kid was loaded into an ambulance... But, you know, it was BART cops there. I hadn't realized it.
What is BART cop?
BART
is a BART cop?
Immediately outside of one of the 12th Street BART station entrances. And so they came out first. And when the Oakland PD chief, he was interviewed in the paper I'd seen last night, late last night, early morning. And he was saying he didn't know why they were released, but it might not have even been Oakland PD. Now, there was Oakland PD helicopters there overhead, but it was the BART cops who let the guy go.
Can you explain to everybody what a BART cop actually is?
A Bay Area Rapid Transit. It's a train transport system that goes throughout the Bay Area. And they have their own police force. They're licensed police officers, just like, you know, police in the Oakland Unified School District carry weapons in or have law enforcement capability. Small local police stations or, you know, cities have their own police forces. And I might add that Oscar Grant Plaza is where most of the goings-on have been in Occupy Oakland. It was Frank Ogawa Plaza, and it still officially is. But the movement, we renamed it Oscar Grant Plaza because Oscar Grant was killed by an Oakland police officer on New Year's Eve 2 years ago. He was shot while he was handcuffed on the ground, he was shot on the back, and the cop who killed him is actually doing time, or did time. I think he did a year. So it was
year for killing, for back shooting somebody?
Yeah. And I mean, it's,
oh my,
most of us, well, I should say most people I know and associate with thought it was clearly murder and he should have, you know, been charged with degree murder. But the fact that a police officer was prosecuted and jailed for killing an unarmed black man is, I guess, progress. You know, it is here because
it's unacceptable. Oh, my gosh. Wow. You think we've come so far. And then you see, like Scott Olsen or Oscar, or, you know, it's really, I was dealing in the chat room yesterday with someone who was really quite combative, you know how they get. And I threw them out. Well, I kind of got dogged all evening long. I publish, you know, quite a bit of my information as a businesswoman. So it people are angry, they are, but they're also, as you say, there's good reason to be celebrating, because the more that it's like you say, 80 go down, 80 get right back up there. And
that's,
I think
what's
that's
happening.
True.
That's what I've seen happen. I've seen these again, I keep saying kids, there's the cross section, there's older folks, there's people older than me there. I was
all that.
I was talking to a lady friend there that I know from just the area, and David Hilliard, I walked up to talk to her, who I believe he was a major Black Panther leader in Oakland back in the day, one of the founders, and he just walked up and started talking, so he's obviously got some involvement there, kind of like an elder statesman type.
Well,
so,
yeah, I'm sure that, welcome that kind of revival.
Exactly, you know, because they did a lot. I mean, again, just like with the movement currently, the media vilified the Panthers, but, you know, they did a lot of good. I mean, they helped a lot of people. They had breakfast programs. They had a lot of free stuff in poor neighborhoods. You know, and had they been essentially left alone, who knows, they might have become a third-party movement.
Oh, they basically, I can remember something of it. You know, I was a teenager, a small teenager back then, and I can remember that the Black Panthers not only, you know, making some noise in the news, but for their programs. And, you know, I can remember Walter Cronkite talking about what the Black Panthers were doing in their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's like, what's his name, Silla and his Guardian Angels in New York City.
Yeah.
Those guys were tramped on when I was living in New York. They were tramped on by the media really badly, and they were sincere about what they were doing in their very beginnings, and they did a lot of good for the neighborhood, but the major media twisted and sort of just stripped everything that they were to themselves and made them what they wanted them to be.
COINTELPRO, they did that to AIM, they did it to the Panthers, they, you know, they were vilified, and it seems like, I'm sure they'd love that to do that to these kids, but they, things have changed, you know, I mean, the internet and social
kids
media
aren't buying
and a lot
it.
Of other
they
stuff
aren't
is,
buying it. They aren't buying it one bit.
Yeah, I got to get back to work.
Thanks for coming in and giving me a redress, a recoup of yesterday. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Oak. Okay. Bye-bye. And, of course, that was Osorio, our fellow Roundtree 7 writer and contributor over at, he's in Oakland. And it looks like I'm looking at one of those stream of consciousness days. So I was telling you that we are here, Be Monsters. We are part of a boycott of the major news or the major media, and or what we call the MSM. And the challenge has been to calmly and smoothly as possible bring knowledge to these social consciousness. And we do it every dang day. we are here. I started out with what was angering me today, and Oso came on and he gave us some wonderful balance about what is good and going on out there. There is a lot of, you can't tell people lies anymore, because we actually are telling them the truth. We're speaking the truth to power. And in that essence, I would like to remind everybody that basically you have Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and you can count on her report from Pacifica every weekday. And she will bring you basically the global truth as it is going on. She can't do that for your community. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Local news is not always so colored as the major news systems, the major media. Actually, this is going to be a short show. I wanted to, tonight I have another show over here on Blog Talk Radio. I do want to give you a rendition one more time, though, of what the MSM really is like, how they lie. And it was cobbled together pretty well by a fellow named Bernie Goldsmith. I'm going to play that.
My name is Bernie Goldsmith. I'm an attorney. I worked on Wall Street 2.5 years ago, servicing the very bank that we're protesting against today. I came out because I haven't been able to find a job for 2.5 years, and I share the pain of a lot of the people in this country, and I think that it's time for us to do something about it. I've been giving a lot of interviews this morning, and I've had a chance to watch the media and what they're doing. Certain media crews have been specifically seeking out individuals at the protests who are definitely not representative of the people here, who are ordinary, working, want to be working people in this country who are really suffering. I saw a news crew talk to somebody and say, you know, who shouldn't we talk to? And they said, and the person he was speaking to said, don't talk to that guy. He thinks he's telling everybody that the Jews are behind everything. And so do you know what they do? They go straight to that guy and they give him all the airtime. It was amazing. I directly saw that instance. And I also saw them go for another guy who had his face full of piercings. And they walked right by some guy in business casual khakis who was very articulate, just to interview the people who were kind of weird. And I think that that's a distortion. I also listened to the questions they were asking. They were very leading. One of them, and I think this is almost verbatim, is, would you say that the people here don't know what they're doing here? That was an actual reporter reporting a question given by somebody from CBS 13. So the word has gone out that 13's particularly bad about it. We'll see how the other crews are doing. There's a definite effort to distort what people are saying. Sometimes it's just easier to tell a story in a short time of these people at the park don't know what they're doing. It's a lot easier to say that than something as amazing and unbelievable as what is actually happening, which is the people of this country, the majority of them, agree with the things that we're here to represent. And the people showing up to this, they are feeling the same pain that almost everybody in this country is feeling. And that's kind of an unbelievable thing to report in a 2-minute segment. But I'm confident that despite the bad media attention, this movement will develop. Much as these movements have developed overseas in Tahrir Square, in the East Soviet bloc, it starts out the same way every time. The media mischaracterizes them. Remember in Tahrir Square, they said that they didn't really have any articulable reason. They didn't have any points that they were there for. It happens the same way every time, which is why, while some people are getting frustrated at the media, I just smile, because I've seen this before, and I know where it goes, and it goes to a wonderful place. Yeah, you can't get frustrated if we don't have a full movement on day one. The unifying principle of the people here is that the vast majority, the 99.9% of the people in this country, are being horribly, horribly screwed by this system. It is massively unjust, and almost everybody in this country is feeling terrible pain right now. It really comes down to the control that wealthy interests, whether they be individuals, whether they be corporations, have over the media that we consume and over the dialogue that occurs as a result of our national interests and the elections that elect our representatives. As a result, the system really has produced a government that isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's not representative of the vast number of people out there. It's representative of a wealthy few. And the result that you get from that is the vast majority of people in this country are suffering terribly. And that's really why the people are here today. They might give you various reasons, because they all know their own individual way of suffering. Everybody's story is unique. But the truth is that they're feeling the effects of a universal injustice that has swept across this country. And hopefully, if we come together and realize how universal this suffering is among the people of this country, we can do something to stop it. There are people protesting here. And they're protesting the conditions that probably you feel too at home. They might look strange at first, because we're all different in some ways. But the truth is that they represent your interests. They're here for you, and they want to see you join them. So please come out. Let's work together to make our government more rational and more representative of our interests.
I love him. That was great stuff. Bernie Goldsmith giving us a really good idea on how useful the media can be when you're speaking truth to power. Occupy Oakland also is setting some precedents. They've printed out on their site, OccupyOakland.org, a resolution to prevent deliberate misrepresentation of Occupy Oakland. And it's as Occupy Oakland's profile and power has grown, politicians, police, and other established authorities have begun trying to open lines of communication with the group, and they wish to identify themselves as representatives of the movement with whom they can negotiate demands. Their proposed transaction frames our power as a commodity that we have wrested from established authorities, and we are expected to give it back to them to spend it, if you will, in return for meeting their certain demands. Now, this is not just the dilemma of Occupy Oakland. Occupy movement itself is facing this. The purpose of a resolution like this is to discourage people and organizations, and we've seen it down here, most especially from MoveOn.org and a lot of the DCCC and organizations, from representing themselves as delegates or negotiators for any given Occupy, but in this case the Occupy Oakland movement, without the sanction of the General Assembly. And thus, to preserve the power of Occupy Oakland is building and to ensure that it remains within the General Assembly, they made this resolution out there in Oakland. And I think OWS has it, and it's pretty standard amongst everybody. Is following the best models, I am noticing, from city to city and such. We know that meetings have already been happening, and this resolution is going to serve as a warning to the would-be opportunists. And I've seen them even in my metaphysical New Age community, which I'm going to bring up on Cosmic Comedy Radio tonight with Nicole. There is a lot of change going on. Let me tell you what. The polarity of the community affects us. Now, out in Oakland, I would say, like Oso really brightly shined today and said, you know, I'm very happy, I'm very enthused, he is uplifted by, you know, he was out there and with his daughter, and they were able to, you know, walk, march, just do something positive with this group and be part of it. And like he says, if you take out him and his daughter and all the people who were there yesterday, more would show up. And by the way, there's been some squabble about how many people actually were at Occupy Oakland. And basically, I think Occupy Oakland, by the time they began shutting down the port of Oakland, had over 10,000 people. That's true. But this this resolution of to prevent deliberate misrepresentation by Occupy Oakland is really a heck of a proposal, and you should be aware of it. It begins with Occupy Oakland hereby asserts that the only line of communication with Occupy Oakland is the General Assembly and our committee meetings. Unless they have the full knowledge and support of the General Assembly, no person or group shall participate in any formal meetings with established authorities intended to shape or inform official policies towards Occupy Oakland. This includes meetings containing significant discussions of Occupy Oakland's logistics, communications, group dynamics, and politics, strategies for managing our activities or our demands. It is demonstrated that any person or organization deliberately entered or participated in such a meeting without the fully informed consent of the General Assembly of Occupy Oakland will issue a public statement and a press release containing our evidence and details of their actions, disavowing any connection between that individual and the groups that they were representing, and Occupy Oakland condemning their unprincipled behavior and discouraging supporters from future collaboration with individuals and groups involved in the meeting. That's pretty plain, and I think most of the Occupy movements are trying to be equitable with the political factions of their communities, if they're equitable with them. I had heard tell that the Democratic Party was pretty well taking a seat with the Tulsa Occupy group, and yet the Tulsa Occupy group in the park were kind of invaded by the cops, and the cops misused, manhandled, and pepper sprayed them. So, you know, you never know what's going on within a group. And as Oso says, once a group is formed, there are people that seem to step right up and take the place of anyone who's removed by arrest. Arrest in this point, at this point, in this movement, it's a badge of honor. It really is. It's a badge of honor. I want to remind everybody to keep an eye on the news on the internet, because once the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force and Navy, board sea ships, we'll hear more, and that could be happening even at this moment. But basically, the IDF has got their eyes on the two freedom ships from Ireland and from Turkey. Well, one's Canadian and one's from Ireland. They both sailed out of Turkey. They're trying to make it so that they arrive in the Gaza area tomorrow morning in daylight, so none of that nighttime, you know, commando crap can happen with the IDF. I did open up with a incredibly mad as hell rant, and I ticked off a number of issues that are capturing my attention and giving me a hard time right now. I'm angry about it. However, I also know that it's not good to hold the anger, to ground it, to walk on, to keep myself well informed, and to find positive resolutions or solutions to these dilemmas, even if they're in my own heart and mind. I think it's important right now that we keep ourselves mentally and emotionally, or body, mind, and spirit in good shape, because the times, they are changing. This has been Here Be Monsters. We are part of a drumline of radio activists that are on air supporting the occupation and Occupy worldwide or planetary. And this show is sponsored by Roundtree 7, and that's a 7.com blog. And as we are an official boycott of the MSM media. We are here every day on, whether we're on for the 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. We are here in solidarity with the Occupy movement, and would love to have your comeback. Shoot any kind of email messaging that you wish to, ideas. Always love to hear critiques, too, except for the kind I've been getting a few of the lately that are not too nice. Personally, I want to just take one little minute here to say, you know, folks, sometimes we don't get along. Your politics are different than mine, that's fine, but just go find a show, you know, that you can grow with. Don't try to agitate someplace where people just don't agree with you. All it is being nasty. And you will always find, if you're going to do that, I am going to throw you off the board, okay? That said, no harm. I thank everyone who has listened in and will listen in the archives. This has been Here Be Monsters. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of therapy, a solution, a resolution. Listening. This has been Here Be Monsters. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m.